This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
It's time now for our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois. Hello, Mike.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic will be looking at transition cow tools. Transition cows 21 days before calving to 21 days after calving, which includes our close-up and our fresh cow survival techniques. This was presented by Dr. Jessica McCark from Cornell University. Challenges here for our dairy cows. Calcium begins a real big factor here in these animals, and that's because of the demand to make colostrum. Uterine involution occurs, it requires calcium. And of course, when the calf is growing rapidly here, and then after calving, some of these cows reach 100 pounds of milk bill in the first week after calving. So to get an idea how much calcium cows need, according to NASM, the new NRC, about 21 grams of calcium for maintenance. We need another 23 grams for colostrum synthesis. And then after calving, we need that same 21 grams for maintenance and then 56 grams or more depending on milk yield. So certainly if cows cannot meet that requirement for calcium, we'll see metabolic disorders such as hypocalcemia, milk fever, decreases in milk production, and a negative effect on reproductive performance as well. So here are some of the management tips or tools that Dr. McCart mentioned in her webinar presentation. First of all, we know the key is intake. Anything we can do to get cows to eat more feeds. So ideally, Holstein cows, mature cows, they should be approaching 26 to 30 pounds of dry matter in that close-up pen there, and then rapidly increasing dry matter intake after calving if, in fact, they are healthy. Another important factor will be pen management. We know that if you can limit the amount of pen moves, that would be advantageous. Overcrowding gets to be a problem. We say less than 90% of capacity of the pen. Comfort would be such things as sand bedding and trying to mitigate heat stress that can occur on dairy farms as well. Another factor that's important to manage these cows is body condition score. And those cows that are over 3.75 have a 50% increased risk of developing ketosis and fat mobilization. We do know about hypocalcemia, and we look at tools. We can use about 61% in their study was using a binder, one of the DCAD binders. 11% were using the zeolite product as well on the farm. In their survey of dairy farms, 74% were using just-in-time calving, which means that within 1 or 2 hours of the calf being born, they are moved into a separate area to assist if needed and minimize pen movements. 26% you had 3 days prior to calving, and that's a big pen move, and that can lead to problems as well. Another important factor is don't vaccinate these cows in the transition period. Certainly the cows aren't able to handle it quite as well here. And another tool would be to separate fresh cows into heifers, first lactation and lactating cows, and older cows because of the challenge of competition and social interactions as well. Another useful tool would be to look at milk production for those farms that have the ability to monitor milk production. A look at 2-week milk and 4-week milk, and we should see a nice increase in milk yield. So if milk yield is dragging, we've got a problem. She ended up her webinar discussing the four types of low blood calcium cows. One is normal. Cows do not drop below the cut point, which is 8.2 milligrams per deciliter. That is about 60% of the cows. Then we have transient cows. And these cows are cows that drop for 1 day and bounce right straight back, and they have no intervention is needed. And these cows actually will produce most milk on the farm. And then we have another two groups of cows that she called persistent and delayed. And these are cows that tend to have low blood calcium and stay there. And, of course, that is when the intervention becomes very important in these cows to get them off and running. Well, that completes the program for today. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday on Dairy Radio Now.
April is National Invasive Pest and Plant Disease Awareness Month. Catherine Bronski of the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service.
April is a great time to get out and look for hungry pets. Trees are starting to leaf out, and it may be easier to see things in your backyard, your garden, as you're walking around in your community. As certain areas, these pests have not yet emerged. So if you're able to see them as their egg mass, you can easily find them, scrape them off, and smash them before they hatch. Remove them from things that may be in your backyard and be able to prevent them from hatching.
More information about Invasive Pest and Plant Disease Awareness Month, various threats, and ways to prevent them are available online at aphis.usda.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.